Dear God, as we look to you today, we look to your word to guide us. And so, Lord, we are to a very, it's a very hard part of the gospel, is where you're being turned over, Lord Jesus, Lord of all heaven and earth, Creator God. You're being turned over to be crucified. And Lord, and to me it brings about a whole group of mixed emotions, because I'm so thankful that you're willing, but it's so dreadful that you had to. I'm so thankful that you didn't refuse. Even in the garden, you felt the pressure of this. And yet, you said, not my will, your will be done to your Father. Lord, we know that none of us can save ourselves. Once we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we can't undo it. And we all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Thank you, Jesus, that you're willing. And as we look at this area of Scripture today, I couldn't get past just the first verse before I felt like we really needed to look deeper. Look at our own hearts. And so, Lord, as we read this verse of Scripture, I pray that you'll help us to not make the same mistake that we see these gentlemen making here. We know that ultimately you died for all our sins, so we're all responsible for your death. But there were some in that day who actively desired to kill you. We know there was one who actively desired to sell you and betray you, who called himself your friend, who you called friend. And Lord, we take full responsibility for your death, but we also want to learn what spirit is behind that desire to actively kill you. And I think we see it played out here today in chapter 15 of Mark, verse 1. So, Lord, as dreadful as this is, I pray that you would teach us. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, I titled it today's message, Man's Religion Kills. You know, I try to talk to people whenever I'm out. I try to talk to people in the family. I try to talk to people about anywhere I am, you know, just to see where they are with Jesus. And I hear something that's spoken a lot, and you know, they'll talk about so-and-so or such-and-such in their family who's a really religious person. And it's always kind of a brain stopper for me, because the word religion does not necessarily mean Christian, amen? There's lots of religions in the world, right? But here's the thing, there's only one true religion, and it comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So whenever I define what it is that I follow and who it is that I am, I always try to use the word relationship. Because a relationship is very different oftentimes than a religion. Okay? But what I find is that these fellows in Mark chapter 15 verse 1 were very religious. And it just stopped my brain. You know, a lot of times I'll read a chapter of Scripture that I'm going to preach through next, and I'll read it multiple times, just over and over and over again, trying to let the main points get soaked into my brain and into my heart, so that then I can determine what God really wants me to focus in on in that. And whenever I was reading through Mark chapter 15, by the time I got to the third or fourth time, I just couldn't. I just kept, like, tripping over this first verse. Let's read it together. Mark chapter 15, verse 1, immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. Who was it? The chief priests. Guys, they were supposed to be representing God to the people. They were supposed to be helping to connect people with God. The chief priests and the elders, they were the ones who came alongside and did did kind of the go-between in some of the different work that was done there, but they were ones of responsibility within the Jewish religion. The scribes, they were the ones who read the word and told people what it meant. They were the ones who, whenever they were asked by the wise men who came looking for the birth of Christ, when they were asked, they said, "He will be born in Bethlehem because the prophets say." They knew where he would be, but yet they didn't go to worship him. We had the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes, and guess what? The whole council. We're talking about the whole Sanhedrin here. We're talking about all the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these guys that couldn't get along in real life, kind of like the Republicans and Democrats. You know, but yet all of a sudden they could agree on something. Their hatred had brought them to the point that they could agree on one thing, and that was kill Jesus. It was the one thing that wound up unifying that which was evil in them. And what's so sad is the evil in them was actually being fueled by man's religion. They were supposed to be representing the one true living God. They were supposed to be seeking him daily and desiring to bring that to the people and reconcile people to God. But they, this council, this religious authority, literally bound Jesus. God in the flesh, the author of life, the one who spoke everything into creation, the one who is Messiah, who was promised to come, who is the one they were looking for, and yet they missed it because of their religion. It's so sad. They bound him and they led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the Roman authority. You know why they delivered him to Pilate? They would have never even bothered. But because the Romans had overtaken them, they did not have the authority to carry out capital punishment. They wanted to kill him right then and there, but they knew then they would be guilty in the eyes of the Romans. And so they had to go to Pilate, not just to beg, not just to ask, but to demand that Pilate kill him. They had come to such a point, they didn't even want to listen to Jesus anymore. They didn't want to hear another word he had to say. And yet, Jesus is the author and savior of life. Imagine. That religion that was supposed to represent God who was standing before them, and they didn't even recognize him because of their hatred and their self-righteousness and their indignation. It just brought up a question in me. If Jesus showed up today and walked into the American Christian Church, sometimes I wonder if we would recognize him. Because sometimes I'm afraid we can let our religion become more important to us than that relationship. And you know what? It's just not enough to just be religious, guys. We really need to be walking in a true living relationship that's built on faith, that we are living out each and every day in our lives. And you know, the fact that it's not enough to just be religious also is displayed in what Jesus said when he taught in Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. He said in 7:21 through 23 of Matthew, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" I'm going to tell you, that sounds like pretty powerful religion. They're doing some stuff there, and they think they're doing it for the right reasons, and they think they're doing it in the right name. But listen to verse 23, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" It's about a relationship. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough just to go to church. It's not enough to just have your name on a roll somewhere in a church. It's not enough to just get wet in a baptistry somewhere. Just getting wet doesn't help anybody. Being baptized because you have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, that matters. And you know, we're coming up on Vacation Bible School. I want us to keep in mind what our goal is. Our goal is to help reconcile children and even their parents or maybe their guardians or whoever in their family will be open to this. Reconcile them to the living God, to have a true relationship with Jesus and to be able to continue forward in that. Will we get off track sometimes? I'm sure we will. We all do. But if you're walking in a relationship with God and you're allowing Him to speak to you, then whenever He tells us that we are off track, we need to pray that we're in a place where we can be humble and listen and repent and get right with Him. Otherwise, I'm afraid if we just try to follow this letter of the law, if given the opportunity, we would kill Jesus too. Actively pursue to kill everything that He would do in our life. You know, this is actually what brought me to Christ. This is a very, very personal thing in my life. I had followed the traditions of my family and all these different things, and whenever I saw a real relationship with Jesus being lived out in my wife, it just caused like this disdain to come up in me, and I couldn't understand where it was coming from. And so one day I was sitting there and I was all by myself and I thought, everything she's doing seems right and true and good. Why do I hate it? And you know what I had to admit? It was because I hated Jesus. Jesus challenged everything in my life that had to do with sin in the flesh, and He was calling me to lay it down, and I didn't want to. I wanted to keep it for myself, even though it was destroying me. And when it was just about to destroy our marriage, and just about to destroy our family, guys, that young man that I stood up here on Friday and enjoyed the pleasure of a wonderful celebration of marriage in his life to his beautiful bride, who is now our daughter as well, he wouldn't even be here if that night had not happened and I surrendered my heart to Jesus. Because I was packing my bags and I was going to leave, and that family was going to be no more. And Jesus got a hold of me. I'm going to tell you, He didn't, you know, a lot of times people say, I decided, I did this. And I'll tell you, I did have a decision to make, but God just had a hold of me that night. And He said, you're not going nowhere till we have a conversation. And I'm going to say, at first it felt like the most dreadful thing that could have ever happened to me, but what I found out, it was the most glorious moment ever. You know, I was to this point that like I was just trying to do just enough and do it my way and still look good to everybody who was looking on, as good as I could. And I thought there was these laws, and as long as you didn't get too far outside of these laws, you'd be okay, that maybe I could slip into heaven some way. Maybe I could follow the letter of the law just enough. Guys, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And that's what we find out in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. You see, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, and all those guys who were there deciding to bind Jesus and drag Him off the Pilate to make sure He got killed, they were not doing this by the power of the Spirit. They were doing this because of what they thought was the letter of the law. And He said He was God, and so by the letter of the law, in their minds, He should be killed. He was challenging everything about their authority structure. And He was saying, come to Me. And they said, no! We would rather kill you. Because they thought their sufficiency was of themselves. But you see, Let's look at verse 6 there. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen. I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit moved into this old hard-hearted person, all of a sudden I began to feel things that I didn't know I could feel. I began to experience a relationship with Christ that was real. I remember walking out the next morning, and my wife, she wasn't sure what was going on in me, because, you know, you don't get sanctified overnight. I'm still in the process, you know. A lot of stuff changed on the inside, but it hadn't changed on the outside yet. And so I walked outside the next morning, and I walked down on our front porch. I'm getting ready to go off to work, and usually I felt kind of depressed as I was going off to work, you know. I had my head down, wasn't really seeking to enjoy anything, just going to try to get through the day. I walked out that morning, I looked around, and I turned back around to my wife, and I said, "Has it always looked like this?" She goes, "What do you mean, look like this?" "Yeah." And I said, "It's beautiful. It's in color." I was. Do you got anybody old enough to remember black and white TVs? I had one. Had one in my room, black and white. You had to imagine the colors. My life was like that black and white TV before I met Jesus. And you know what? The Spirit gives life. It's a capital S, the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say they've been tempted to go back to their old life. Well, I struggle with some of the old ways, but I never want to go back to that old life. That old life was death. It was that letter of the law that just brought death. Death. It was kind of the way I parented, too. I have at least one in here who'll say amen to that. You know, people talk about you can make your kids behave. I could make them, but I didn't have much relationship with them while I was doing that. Now I'm trying to win their hearts. It's a little different. I'm a lot different, Dad. Amen. Praise Jesus. And so here's the thing, guys. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Let the life live through us into our children. Let the life live through us into our community. Let the life live through us to evangelize the lost. Let it be the life that's given by the Spirit of God. But you know, we can't give what we don't have. So make sure you have it. How about us? Do we really worship God? The big G, God, you know? Or are we worshiping man-made religion? We need to make sure where our heart is. In fact, not all religion's bad, so I'm not going to diss religion altogether. We just need to make sure it's the right religion, okay? And the right religion is defined, God's religion is defined in James chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but he deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Man, that's convicting. Bridle the tongue. Do foolish things ever just pop out? It's because that's the unbridled part of it, right? Let's make sure it's right for building up, for edifying in the Lord, for, you know, have it bridled by the Spirit of God. And then he goes on to say, pure and undefiled religion. See, this religion is good before God. It's because it's God's. And the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. To keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's good religion. So we remember those in need that can't really help themselves. Orphans and widows, they really can't change their situation. You know, those in need, you know, we need to be a part of their life. We need to be there for the sake of Christ. And I mean, I'm sure that God has shown us that list is a little bit more complete than just those two little categories. You know, those are big categories. You know, we're to visit the one in prison. We're to let the little children come and hinder them not. We're to do all these different things, and it fits into those categories. But here's the thing. That keeping oneself unspotted from the world, that's a big one right there. We talk about the other ones a lot because those are things we can do. But that one of keeping yourself unspotted from the world, that might be about what we don't do as well. And some things that we do instead. That's why we're offering a website where you can fill your time with things that are going to build you up rather than filling your time with some entertainment that will tear you down. It's not just about what we don't do, but it's kind of what we fill it with instead, you know. You leave an empty spot in your life, you want to fill it with something that's good. And so, you know, let's just make sure that we're really worshiping God, that we're really about God's religion, not man's religion. The legalist, the one who's trying to just check off the list, you know, and our minds are just kind of this way. We like to have the list we can check off, okay? You know, I'm walking with Jesus. You can tell because I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. But are you really talking to him? Do you really know him? Does he really know you? That's really the main thing. You know, I realized that next day after I gave my heart to Jesus, I walked out the door and I enjoyed all this beauty. And then I thought, oh, you know, last night, I remember, I agreed to follow Jesus. And I forgot to ask him where he's going. And you know how you find out where he's going? It's in here. This is your roadmap. And I didn't really like to read. Ever. Anything. You know, some people, they read the cereal box. What a silly thought. That's way, way, way too much effort. Took a lot of adjusting, a lot of praying, a lot of asking for God to help me read the Bible. It's a discipline for me. For others, it may be really easy. I pray that it is really easy for you. But even if it ain't, I pray you'll do it anyways. Because we need to know where he's going if we're going to have a relationship with him and we're going to follow him. The legalist, rather, asks, I like what this guy's question is. He comes to him. He's the lawyer. He's the guy that's looking for the legal things. He would be a type of scribe. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him, questioning, testing him. See all those words, those qualifying words in there? Saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? In other words, he said, I've been doing them all, but I just want to be able to pat myself on the back whenever I hear what the greatest one is, so I know I've already done it. And you know what? Jesus went in and boiled it down for us. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know what he said? This is a John Joe's paraphrase. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. He said you're supposed to love God. With what? Everything. All your heart, mind, soul, and strength, even in another place. So here's the thing. I can love God, but you know, people. Guess what? They're his and they're made in his image, so he included them too. And he said, oh yeah, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor. How? I can love them, but that don't mean I gotta like them. Heard that one. Like yourself. So how do you feel? Well, you know, maybe you don't feel very good about yourself. How would you like to be treated by others? How's that one? We'll go there. Okay? You want to be treated well. Okay? Jesus boils it down for us. So rather than asking, God, which box that I've already checked is the best one that I've checked? Instead, he says, here, it's easy. just love God with everything, give him everything, and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm glad he boiled it down for us, because it helps us to see it's really about a relationship. So how do we know if we really love him? Well, what you do will actually, it'll kind of prove it out. So it isn't getting the cart before the horse. I'll do all the right things, and then it'll, you know, maybe then I'll love him. I'm not sure, you know, but regardless, I did all the right things. But instead, he's saying, if you love me, in John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16, keep my commandments. What were his commandments? He boiled it down for us. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself, right? And I will pray, he says, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So we're going to end by just putting up two different categories. Man's religion, you know what it ends up as? Wanting to kill Jesus and all that he stands for. You know, all you got to do is just look at that map over there. Man's religion in all those areas that are shaded in, yellow, brown, that's the areas of greatest persecution. Man's religion, when they see a Christian, they persecute them. You might say, well, you know, it's just people believe different things. We can't really judge them. No, I wouldn't judge them, but I'm going to tell you, you can judge the religion that they're following. It's demonic. And you can see the evidence that it's demonic because it wants to kill Christ and everything about him, including the people who follow him. But a relationship with Jesus wants to follow Jesus and build his kingdom as we go. So let's check our own hearts this morning. Is my life about his kingdom, or is my life about my kingdom? Do I want to follow Jesus, or would I just rather he stayed out of my business? Because I can tell you, I've stood in both places. And I'm going to encourage you today. You take that step over into his kingdom. You'll never be sorry spiritually that you did it. But you know, here's the thing he won't let us do. He won't let us stay in the middle. We're going to have to make a decision. Go with him, or we're going to keep tripping over him. So I'm going to encourage you today, surrender your heart to Jesus. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you today. And we ask you to help us love you better. Help us to love you more like Jesus said when he summed up the law and the prophets, with all our heart, our mind, and our strength, even our soul, that the deepest part of us would love you. Lord, I pray that you would also help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Lord, I can absolutely say without a doubt that if those men that day, the chief priests, the scribes, and the council, and all of the religious leaders, if they just would have loved God, there's no way they would have killed the Lord of glory. If they just would have loved their neighbor even as themselves, there's no way that they could have led you off to be crucified the way that you did. And Lord, I know that you had to die for our sins to save us. And I know that those things had to come, but even you said, woe to those through whom they come. So Lord, what I'm saying here today is, all that's already happened, but help us to learn that man's religion ain't going to get us where we need to be. We need to be all about a relationship. So help us to grow in our relationship with you. And if there's anyone here today that hasn't really entered into a true relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray they might take a step towards you today. And if they need someone to help better explain it to them, just lead them in the Bible and then possibly in prayer to start that relationship, then I pray they might be willing to come forward today. But Lord, we just surrender our hearts to you. May you have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen.